that may cause division among couples, but I'm trying to focus on a couple different things of those today. Finances. Last week we talked about faithfulness and how our faithfulness to the Lord helps our marriages, right? Next week we're going to talk about communication. My wife has been, I've been blessed that my wife has to be in kids church for these 2 weeks. But next week she's going to help me to preach it. And so we have a message that challenged us many years ago about how to have a good fight, how to have a good argument in marriage, in any relationship, even if you're not married, any relationship with in a friendship or with your children or with your coworkers. Any relationship is not always going to be all perfect and you know, lovey-dovey or whatever the word would be, right? But there's ways to talk things out and have a good discussion, as my family would say. We're not arguing, we're discussing, okay? My grandpa liked to have discussions with my grandma often. But to us, they're like, whoa, they're arguing. And my grandpa, no, we're discussing. So there's ways that you can talk through stuff. You have to communicate in your marriage, and you have to do it well for it to succeed. And so we're going to try to give some help in that way next week. And I'm excited. At the end of September, we'll have more information coming out in the next couple weeks. But September 27th and 28th, we're going to have a marriage enrichment weekend. Pastor Kevin Anderson from Devil's Lake is a facilitator for, it's called Prepare and Enrich, a way to enrich your marriages. And so this is going to be open to the whole community, and we're trying to put it together well to make everybody able to come and not have to worry about who's watching the kids, what are we doing, all of the things that might be obstacles for you to be here. We're going to try to help with that. So we'll have some more information going forward and just some more resources for that. So today, I want to begin by helping you to see what the marriage relationship should be from a biblical perspective. And if yours is not like this, you need to strive for it, work on it to get it to God's original design of marriage. A little known prophet in the Bible, has anyone heard of Amos? Okay, Amos is a prophet, and there's a book of Amos. He was a prophet to the Israelites. And in one of his prophecies over Israel, this is in Amos 3:3, he says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" We, when we go into a marriage covenant, right, we're agreeing to walk together. You are a team. You have agreed to team with another person, right, in this life, and to walk through it together. When we make that covenant to one another, we are deciding, to Genesis chapter 2 tells us, we're deciding to leave our father and our mother and to cleave to our spouse. We become one. We become a unit, right? So in order for this team to work well together, we must submit to one another, setting aside our own wants, our own needs, to come together as one. God gave this command through Paul in his letters to a few different churches, actually, in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, 1 Corinthians 7. He writes, "Submit yourself to your spouse." Into the marriage relationship, you bring your strengths, you bring your weaknesses. You bring the mindset of however it was that you were raised, right? You bring all of your debt. You bring all of your assets into this marriage relationship. You have to learn to work together on all of it. because you are now one. And you've made the covenant to stay as one through richer or poorer. Remember that part of the marriage vow? Maybe not everybody says the traditional marriage vow, but that's very popular to say. Through richer, for poorer. This is a great vow to make because financial stress is one of the leading causes of divorce. So many arguments between husband and wife are centered around money, which is why the Bible says the root of all evil, money is the root of all, let me start over. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, money is not the root of all evil, but the love of it is. Greed, selfishness towards money is the root of evil. We need money to survive in life, right? I knew a family that was trying to be completely they called it self-sustaining, living off the land. They were going to go to, I forget where they were going to go to, but they wanted to be completely off the grid, is another term they would use. We want to go off the grid. But no matter how much, we have to have a certain amount of money to survive. It's something we have to deal with it. And when we do it in a God-honoring way, our marriage will be blessed. So rather than allowing financial stress to divide you and your spouse, use your finances in such a way that honors God and blesses your marriage. I want to first point out some things that cause financial stress. We'll talk a little specific here. That if we don't handle them well as a team, it's going to cause division among us. Money problems frequently occur in marriage because the husband and wife have different personalities, different family backgrounds, and different life experiences. Communicating about these differences can help you avoid misunderstandings with your spouse. All right? I put these up on a slide, I think, and I'm not going to talk through all of them, but leave the slide up there for a few moments so you can read through it. Okay? Stewardship examples. So the extreme of these views are stewardship examples, good and faithful stewards versus poor stewards. Training. Actively taught biblical principles and practices versus unknowingly taught poor attitudes and examples. I don't think parents ever think to themselves, I'm going to intentionally train you wrong to abuse, misuse money, right? We don't actively, you know, intentionally do that. But if we don't train well in a godly way as Christians or even non-Christians, you can train children and your family in good money practices. Okay, next one, lifestyles, living very modestly versus living extravagantly. Family work ethics, extreme overworking versus slothful, barely working at all. Financial status, parents are quite wealthy versus parents are quite poor. Saving practices, idolatrous hoarding versus no savings at all. Borrowing beliefs, it's always wrong to borrow versus borrow as much as possible. Giving practices, generous, regular, cheerful givers versus stingy, irregular, resentful non-givers. Spending habits, overly cautious versus impulsive overspending. Okay? It's extremely important to communicate about your differences. If you have a concern in any of these areas, any certain area, talk about it. Okay? Have those conversations. I don't have time to talk through all of these, right? But some of these maybe have popped in your mind of like, yeah, that's one problem with me, or maybe I was raised this way or that way. But when it comes to finances, you have to ditch the me versus you mentality. We have to drop the it's his money and her money. This is our money, okay? We need to replace those phrases. When you signed the marriage license, congratulations. You've taken on all of the bad and all of the good of that other person. Whatever debt they had gone into before you married them, that's your debt now, okay? Whatever good. Maybe, hopefully, you found someone like I did that was a millionaire that has mansions all over the place, and now you married into good money. Just kidding. I didn't. Becky wishes. No. But some whatever you've married into, all of this, not even talking about physical assets or debts, but the characteristics of the person, the personality, what they've, what their background is, you're marrying that and you're becoming one. They're taking you on as well, okay? We both had debt. We both had things that we had been taught that were probably not right or good, and we had to work together to work them out. It's very important, I can't stress this enough, to have good communication about all of these things, okay? I understand there's some logical reasons for having separate bank accounts. I don't want to get into too many of these little situations, but I see it more common that there's separate bank accounts for one reason. Like, well, we have a small business and we don't want to mix it with their personal banks. So I understand there's reasons that we may want separate accounts like that, but there needs to be communication about it and what's happening. Another example, I don't think I was going to say in here, but sometimes we feel like, well, I want to be able to surprise my spouse with a gift or something, and if they see, like us, she does the most of the banking, so she's always looking on there, so I can't really surprise her in those ways. So some people would say, well, I have a separate account for our vacation fund or for our gift fund or whatever, okay? But be open and be communicating about those things, that it's okay, all right? I'm not a budget and financial expert. I'm not going to tell you how to operate your money except through biblical ways, what the Lord tells us to do. But in your budget, if you want a vacation fund, save up for a vacation fund. It's great. But communicate about it. Don't hide stuff from your spouse, okay? All right. If I have any more wise advice, I'll pop it out. But that's all. That's the only thing that I have in my notes. So we'll move on. God designed marriages to pursue oneness in every aspect of the marriage, including finances. When you come into the marriage relationship, you don't get to pick and choose what part of your spouse and his or her past that you want to marry, or what part you want to give to your spouse, okay? You don't get to choose those. You're one, okay? The response should not be avoidance. We should work through the issues, making a marriage stronger than before. This is an opportunity for greater unity, not further division, okay? So have I fired you up a little bit? Okay. As we read those, do you get fired up and say, oh, that's Becky. Oh, man, that's her, right? She'll come up next Sunday and defend herself against everything. She watched last Sunday, so I'm talking about marriage. We're being open and honest about it, right? I'm not hiding stuff, what I tell you, okay? But when we read these things, we should identify ones that affect our marriage. be honest of, well, this is how I was raised and maybe it was wrong. I don't know. My family was raised, we went out to eat way too much, and I brought that into marriage. Why eat at home when we can go to McDonald's 3 times a day? Let's go, okay? And then when the money ends didn't meet, we had to stop going to McDonald's every day. So let's talk about solutions now, okay? Everything we do, if you're taking notes, write this down. I think I have a slide just for this statement. Everything we do should glorify God. Our marriage relationship and how we treat one another and how we deal with issues, it all needs to glorify God, okay? I know I'm stressing marriage here, but in any of your relationships, so if you're a young person or if you're a single person, this is something that you can grasp from this message today, that everything you do, all the dealings that you have in business, in your jobs, with your friends, with your family, it all should glorify God. Most of the problems that we've talked about and just read through that list, most of those can be weapons against us to defeat our marriage, and we feel like our marriage is being defeated and we're losing the battle because of this or this or this, and financial issues and stress could be one of those. But if these are used correctly, biblically, the weapon of our finances will bless our marriage. The things that the financial stresses that could be negatively affecting our marriage, we can use our finances to bless our marriage. God promises it. He promises that. First, let's establish that everything on earth is the Lord's. We talked about creation for the past 7 weeks. God created all of it. So everything that we have, even material things that you may say, oh, I created this. No, God created what is used to create that, and then gives us the mind to create it. And he's created financial, he's created money. What money we have is because of God. We have to have that mindset, okay? That everything is the Lord's. God is our creator. He's our source of life, our source of provisions, and he's entrusting us to be stewards of it, not just creation, okay? Everything that he created, and our finances are the same thing. Then the promise of blessing from being good stewards is found a few different places. First, in the parable of talents, Jesus tells us, illustrating the kingdom of God, he says, God, who like a master entrusted us, his people, with his property, he promises those who are faithful stewards to be blessed with more. This is found in Matthew 25, verse 21. Jesus says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. When we're faithful in what God's entrusted us with, he's going to give us more because he can trust us. And the people that he can't trust, he's not going to give them more. Okay? So God, it's a promise of his blessing. Another promise is in Malachi 3:10. I grew up with this verse on our tithe and offering envelope. I put a different verse on here. But Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's a powerful promise from God. And it's the only time in the Word of God, it's the only time that God tells us to test him. Okay? Test him. Bring your offerings to the Lord and see if he won't pour out more. Okay? So how do we steward our finances responsibly in a God-honoring, biblical way? Excuse me. There's five areas that we can look at, and we can probably dissect it even more and kind of go more in depth, but I wanted to give you some practical ways of how do we steward our money right to receive those blessings, for our marriage to be blessed. How should we use our money, okay? So first is to earn a living, to earn the money, to make more money. Okay, to provide for our families. In a warning against idleness, in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul tells Christians to follow him and his disciples' examples of working hard to make a living and not be a burden on others. They were speaking to the church in Thessalonica and saying how the disciples had come there. We weren't a burden to you. We weren't making you give us, you know, feed us and provide for us. We were working while we were ministering there. Okay? And so that's kind of the context of this statement. And Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." Okay? It's okay to ask for help when you can't make ends meet, when there's an emergency in the family or whatever, there would be an extraordinary amount of debt or a loss of income. So he's not saying that it's bad and don't ask for help. Okay? It's okay for both spouses to work and to earn an income. It's okay for one to stay home and raise the children. There's not a hard, fast rule for us that we have to work and we have to do it this much, okay? But that we take responsibility to provide for our family, okay? The second one is don't go into debt. Okay, God warns against debt in Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Debt places the debtor in a position of servitude to another person. And that person has become master over the one that's in debt to them. It's in your best interest to avoid debt. Although sometimes we must, if we want to buy a house or farmland, or if we want to afford college or a training of some sort. But because of enormous interest rates, you end up paying more for whatever it was you purchased, depending on how long it takes you to pay off that debt, you'll end up paying extraordinary amount more than what it was worth. Debt puts much added stress to your marriage, and you are, metaphorically speaking, a slave to that bank institution or whatever. I didn't put this in my notes, but be really careful borrowing or loaning to a friend or a family member. It puts stress on that relationship. And so just debt in general, try your hardest not to go into it. When we were married, we both had debt. And we've paid a lot of it off, but we've also had to, for different reasons, have other debt. And it just weighs on you. And I would rather, I think I say this a little bit later, but I'd rather give to the Lord, right, and not to Visa, okay? I don't want to fund their vacation, right? So the next one pay your tithe and pay your taxes, okay? A tithe was a command that God gave the Israelites in the Old Testament. When we talk about tithing today, it's difficult to apply all the tithing instructions that God gave the Israelites because we're in a totally different culture now, a totally different context, okay? But Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So there's principles in the New Testament and to the early church that Jesus taught. And so we encourage the tithe means a 10% of kind of what we earn, whatever it would be. First Corinthians 16, verse 2 is a long verse, but it has various points in it. I'm going to read the verse and point out a teaching about our tithe from that verse. 1 Corinthians 16, 2, Paul writes, on the first day of every week, so he's talking about giving periodically, each one of you, so we need to give from a personal standpoint and from a couple's, each one of you is meaning each of us, we should give. And we should set aside a sum of money, so we should plan it, not just toss money here and there, but we should plan that I need to give to the Lord and I'm going to give this amount. We need to give in keeping with your income. So don't give way more than you can afford and put a strain on your marriage, okay? But don't give so little either. Give proportionally. So God doesn't say every one of you should give $1,000 a month. And if you only earn $500 a month, well, you're disobeying God. No, God doesn't say that. We need to give proportionally according to our income. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So give so there is plenty. Okay? The verse again says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So give periodically, give personally, plan your giving, give proportionally, and that there's plenty. One day, speaking of taxes, one day the Pharisees tried to trick Jesus, and they asked Jesus about paying their taxes. If he's telling his people, if he's instructing them to give taxes or not, okay? And Jesus replies to them in Mark 12:17. He says, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God. So he's saying you need to obey the laws of land and give to what you're instructed to give and also give to the Lord what is his. So we need to abide by the laws of taxes and also give to God, which brings up our last two of these. The next one is that we should give to the poor. Jesus talked about this over and over and over, encouraging us to give. It's our responsibility to help the poor. And this goes for anyone that we see in need. A lot of people in our area, in our country really, there's not a lot of poor people. What would we call poor? I would say if you see people in need, okay, they're the ones that Jesus is talking to. He told us there will always be poor people, and multiple times he told his followers to give to the poor. A few times, even challenging people to sell your possessions and give to the poor. And we see in the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, that they did this. They would sell their possessions, give to another family that was in need. Okay? And last is to give to send missionaries. As followers of God, he needs us to mobilize missions and reach others with his gospel. The famous missions verse I've read before, but from Romans 10:14, it says, "How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" People are called to go to the other countries that we're never going to be able to go to, but we can help get them there by giving, okay? And our church does an amazing job of that. These last two, giving to the poor and sending missionaries, are probably not taught by very many financial advisors. But I was trying to recall a story that I heard, and I still can't remember who it was, but it was this famous businessman, very successful, rich guy, but not a Christian. And he was making this statement about giving to charities. And he said, "I don't know how it works, but when I give to charities, when I give to others, my business is blessed. It flourishes. I don't have problems. It continues to grow and I do well. But the periods of time that I'm not giving to others, my business struggled. And I don't know why. I just know giving to the needy returns a blessing." And that's someone that's not a Christian man. Okay? We need to give to the Lord, and it's our part of our worship, more than our tithe, an offering to him, and bless the ministry that God calls us to. I want to close with this promise if the worship team wants to come. Jesus in Luke 6:38, he says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So if you give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit back. If you don't give at all, God may not bless you with any. And the more we give, the more God's going to give back. There's a saying out there that says you can't outgive God. There's people that are tithing instead of the 10%, and they're tithing 30%. And they're saying, the more I give, it's like the more I get. And and it's the principle that God is entrusting them with more. Okay? As I said earlier, as I was preparing these notes and typing out some of these principles, I was challenged in my heart that I would much rather give to the poor than give to Visa. I would much rather send missionaries than to help the doctor bill or whatever, to let them get a new car or whatever it is. Like, I need to do better getting and staying out of debt and giving more, not being, sometimes we're a little, if we're anything, we're a little too conservative of like, I don't know if I can afford another missionary's coming and they want more money. I don't know if I can give more, or another need is brought to my attention and we have in our heart, like, and I really want to give. I don't know if the pocketbook can have enough money to support that. Okay? So whatever it is that God's challenging you with this message, talk about it with your spouse. If you're not married, think about it. Pray about how you need to do it better. Because our finances are so important. Okay? Our spiritual lives can hang on what we're spending our money on, what we're spending our tithe on. If you look through your bills and what it all is going to, you're going to see what you value, okay? And I want to encourage you. Would you stand with us? I want to encourage you that if finances are causing a stress in your marriage, to be open and talk about it, okay? There's times Becky does most of our bills and bookkeeping, and we have to talk through things. I'll have the ideas of, I'm the kind of, we want to give to every missionary that comes. If I'm asking the church to give, I need to give, right? So how much can we do that? Be open about it. Okay, talk about it. It's not bad to eat out. It's not bad to buy gifts for one another. It's not bad to splurge, okay? But if it's hindering and it's hurting your situation, you need to talk about that. You need to plan for it. Ask the Lord for help. When I was talking on this, thinking on this subject, the church has three of these financial peace universities. I'm not, super publicly endorsing Dave Ramsey. There's Crown Financial, does great has great resources too. So there's other things out there, but our church has three of these, and they're $80 value, and they're sitting in our office, okay, brand new. So if you would, it's a program. I don't know how many weeks you go through, but it's a program you talk through, with your family, and then you incorporate the budget through the year and all that. So it's not just a one-time, fun little thing. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be, it's going to take a lot of investment into your, with your strength and your mind and your heart. Okay. But we want to invest in your marriage. So it's free to you if you would use it. And I have three of them. So talk to me. But please take it if you're going to use it. Okay. There's other resources that I've talked about in the past. If you need, there's Bible studies and a lot of different resources. I want to encourage you. Okay. Let's close in prayer, and I'll have the worship team just play while we kind of wrap up the service this morning. Heavenly Father, God, I love you, Lord, and praise you, God. Thank you for these tough topics. They're hard to preach on. They're hard to think about, Lord, but you've blessed us, and we need to be good stewards of what you're entrusting us with. And so I pray that you'd help each individual and each couple, Lord, to think through these things and be open to talk about. Help us to have these difficult conversations in a loving way, in a gentle way. Lord, that you would help us to grow closer as a marriage and closer to you, Lord, most importantly. So I pray a blessing, Lord, as we leave this place and go have dinner together. Would you bless the food, bless the youth leaders who have prepared it as a thank you, as they're showing their gratitude to our congregation. So we just pray a blessing over our time together, Lord, that you would be glorified through it. And so we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you if you'd like to go. The dinner will be ready in just a few moments. I'm going to ask the worship team to play this song, and I'd love to pray with you if you would like to pray. But if you need to go, you can go.